Welcome to another dialogue class. How was your week? Our colleagues had quite a long week, but now everything's fine. They're just chatting and having a beer. That's right, it's happy hour time. Are you curious to know what they're talking about at the bar? Well, let's listen to our dialogue and find out.
So that's what I did. He told me to talk to HR if I was offended, and I did exactly that.
Oh, wow. That can't have been good for him. He was being a total jerk, though. So it's great that you reported his behavior.
So inappropriate. Honestly, this is the first time something like this has happened to me. But anyways, it's all water under the bridge.
True. We ought to move on. It's not worth it to keep thinking about this sort of thing. Oh, hey, look who's here. Come on, Ed, join us.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Jane. How you guys doing?
We're just fine. Thank God it's Friday, am I right?
Amen.
Yeah, it's been a long week, my friends. What are you guys up to?
Not much, just having a beer. Jane has been telling me about some trouble she's had at work, but that's all in the past now.
Yep, dead and buried. So, how was your day, Ed?
Can't complain too much. I finally finished the server update, so that's a weight off my shoulders.
Oh, did you? You've been telling me about that thing for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, let's just say it was quite a challenge.
That's his diplomatic way of saying it was an absolute pain to do it.
True. Old Ed here is a consummate professional.
Indeed. Now, on to the next task, which is going to be the database migration project. I'm definitely going to need your help on that, Tom.
Are you? I mean, I'd be glad to help, but I'm not sure I'm the right man for the task. I'm usually more focused on network infrastructure.
Yes, and that's going to be crucial. We will need the network to remain solid throughout the whole process. We can't afford to risk losing our progress because of connection issues.
Oh my God, you two. You're putting me to sleep. Enough shop talk. Let's just relax for a second.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Next round's on you, Ed.
You got it.
So that's what I did. He told me to talk to HR if I was offended, and I did exactly that.
Oh, wow. That can't have been good for him. He was being a total jerk, though. So it's great that you reported his behavior.
So inappropriate. Honestly, this is the first time something like this has happened to me. But anyways, it's all water under the bridge.
True. We ought to move on. It's not worth it to keep thinking about this sort of thing. Oh, hey, look who's here. Come on, Ed, join us.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Jane. How you guys doing?
We're just fine. Thank God it's Friday, am I right?
Amen.
Yeah, it's been a long week, my friends. What are you guys up to?
Not much, just having a beer. Jane has been telling me about some trouble she's had at work, but that's all in the past now.
Yep, dead and buried. So, how was your day, Ed?
Can't complain too much. I finally finished the server update, so that's a weight off my shoulders.
Oh, did you? You've been telling me about that thing for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, let's just say it was quite a challenge.
That's his diplomatic way of saying it was an absolute pain to do it.
True. Old Ed here is a consummate professional.
Indeed. Now, on to the next task, which is going to be the database migration project. I'm definitely going to need your help on that, Tom.
Are you? I mean, I'd be glad to help, but I'm not sure I'm the right man for the task. I'm usually more focused on network infrastructure.
Yes, and that's going to be crucial. We will need the network to remain solid throughout the whole process. We can't afford to risk losing our progress because of connection issues.
Oh my God, you two. You're putting me to sleep. Enough shop talk. Let's just relax for a second.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Next round's on you, Ed.
You got it.
Very well then. Although our colleagues are now just chatting and relaxing, we are here to work. So let's start studying our dialogue, shall we? Very well, we start there with, so that's what I did. He told me to talk to HR if I was offended, and I did exactly that. So that's what I did. He told me to talk to HR if I was offended, and I did exactly that. Let me just draw your attention here one more time to the pronunciation of the word exactly, right? Exactly, exactly. There are many k sounds, right? So exactly, exactly, exactly. Exactly, right? I did exactly that. Okay, moving forward. Oh, wow. That can't have been good for him. He was being a total jerk, though, so it's great that you reported his behavior. Oh, wow. That can't have been good for him. He was being a total jerk, though, so it's great that you reported his behavior. We have a very interesting expression here, which is can't be. They're in the very beginning in the sentence, that can't have been. So we're using present perfect there, can't have been, but my expression is can't be, right? We can use the expression can't be to indicate something that certainly isn't. Certainly isn't. So if I say that can't be good for us, what I'm saying is that certainly isn't good for us, right? So in our situation here, that can't have been good for him. What he's saying is that certainly wasn't good for him, right? So the expression can't be has this meaning of certainly isn't, certainly wasn't. Let's see one more example that is a little different from the ones we've seen so far. I could say, for instance, smoking can't be good for you. Smoking can't be good for you. So smoking certainly isn't good for you. Can't be, certainly isn't. Certainly isn't good for you. Can't be good for you. All right, I think that's clear by now. So let's move on. We also have a very interesting use of the verb report here. We have been seeing the verb report in our classes here, usually meaning to write or make, not necessarily writing, but it could be just orally, and account. So we've been seeing the verb report here normally in this sense, like in the sentence, she reported an increase in our sales. She reported an increase in our sales, so she made an account, either written or oral, of an increase in our sales. So she told us that there was an increase in our sales, right? We have also seen the verb report meaning to answer to, like to your boss, for example. So I could say, I report to the marketing manager. I report to the marketing manager. I answer to the marketing manager. He is my boss, right? But here in our situation here, we're using the verb report as a synonym of to denounce someone. So someone did something bad, something wrong, and you are denouncing this person, you are reporting this person. So if I say, she has to report her abusive boss to HR. She has to report her abusive boss to HR. She has to report, she has to denounce his bad behavior to HR, right? So we have here all of these uses of the verb report. All of them have already been in our classes here. So to write or make orally an account, to answer to someone, or to denounce someone for a bad behavior. All right, so that's it for this page. Let's move forward. So inappropriate. Honestly, this is the first time something like this has happened to me. But anyways, it's all water under the bridge. So inappropriate. Honestly, this is the first time something like this has happened to me. But anyways, it's all water under the bridge. One thing that's very interesting here is that we have another prefix that means not, which is the prefix in. The prefix in, when used with adjectives, many times can mean not. So when she says there that something is inappropriate, it means that it's not appropriate, right? So the same thing happens with invalid. Invalid is something that is not valid. Or insane. Insane is something that isn't sane, so not sane. Or even inoffensive, something that is not offensive, and so on, right? So the prefix in used with adjectives can also mean not, inappropriate, invalid, insane, inoffensive, and so on, right? We have already seen other prefixes here, including prefixes that mean not, right? But don't forget that the prefix in, many times when used with adjectives, also means not, right? So not appropriate, inappropriate, Not valid, invalid. Not sane, insane. Not offensive, inoffensive. All right? And another word that I have already talked to you about in our classes is the word anyway, which here is being used in the plural anyways, right? And in our case here, it's being used to summarize, to conclude one thought, right? So, but anyways, she's just concluding that let's move on, let's turn the page here. But anyways, it's all water under the bridge. A very interesting expression here also, water under the bridge, which means that things are in the past, right? They should be forgotten, right? So things are already in the past, they should be forgotten, so it's water under the bridge. All right, moving forward. True, we ought to move on. It's not worth it to keep thinking about this sort of thing. Oh, hey, look who's here. Come on, Ed, join us. True, we ought to move on. It's not worth it to keep thinking about this sort of thing. Oh, hey, look who's here. Come on, Ed, join us. We have here another modal verb that is not very common, which is ought to. Ought to is not as common as other modal verbs such as would or could or should or may, but it also has its uses. To explain those uses to you, I'm going to call him my colleague, Luis.
Ought to is often called a semi-modal verb. It doesn't quite behave like a modal, but it doesn't act like a normal main verb either. The biggest difference in relation to a modal verb such as can, should, or must is the fact that ought to needs a to before the main verb. Ought to has a meaning that is very similar to should. It is used to make recommendations or to say what is expected of someone or something. For example, you're late again. You ought to be more careful with your schedule. This previous example could also be said with should instead of ought to. You should be more careful with your schedule. Same meaning, but ought to sounds more formal. One very unique aspect of ought to is the fact that it is very rarely used in negative phrases and questions. In these situations, it is most often replaced with should. Both of the following examples are grammatically correct, but sound extremely awkward nonetheless. You ought not to walk into a meeting room without knocking. Ought I to report this issue? These phrases sound absolutely terrible, and I think it's very unlikely that a native speaker would ever say them. They would instead use should, like so. You shouldn't walk into a meeting room without knocking. Should I report this issue? Ought to is a useful expression, but you ought to be careful when you're using it.
All right then, now that you know how to use the modal verb ought to, let's just practice a little more the pronunciation. We're normally gonna say it like outa. Right? Outa, outa, outa. We ought to move on. We ought to move on. We ought to move on. Right? So ought to in an everyday speech, in a fast speech, normally is going to be pronounced as outa. Outa move on. We ought to move on. All right? Another interesting expression we have here in this sentence is it's not worth it. When I say something is not worth it, what I'm saying is that there are more disadvantages than benefits, right? So there are more disadvantages than advantages, than benefits. So I can say only this expression, it's not worth it, period, when someone asks me, for instance, did you watch the movie? And I say, yes, but it's not worth it. Yes, but it's not worth it. So did you watch the movie? Yes, I did watch the movie, but there are more disadvantages watching the movie than advantages, than benefits. So it's a waste of time. The movie is not good, so don't watch it. It's not worth it, right? So I can use this expression just as an answer. For example, did you watch the movie? I did, but it's not worth it. Or I can use it in a sentence like we have here in our dialogue. It's not worth it to keep thinking about this sort of thing. So I can say it's not worth it and then explain what's not worth it. So it's not worth it to watch that movie. It's not worth it to watch that movie. It's not a good idea to watch that movie. So let's add here, not a good idea. It's not worth it to watch that movie. It's a waste of time to watch that movie. I could also say, it's not worth it to fight with her. It's not worth it to fight with her. There are only disadvantages fighting with her. It's not a good idea. Just drop it. One last example. It's not worth it to go to the beach. It's not worth it to go to the beach. It's gonna rain. It's gonna be cold. There are a lot of different problems, so it's not worth it to go there. It's not a good idea at this time. There are many disadvantages in going to the beach this weekend. Okay, so it's not worth it can mean having more disadvantages than advantages, or that it's just not a good idea. So you can use this expression with different compliments to express this idea. All right, let's move on. Hey, Tom. Hey, Jane. How are you guys doing? Hey, Tom. Hey, Jane. How are you guys doing? Remember that I told you that this expression here, you guys, or you girls, if it's only females, is a lot used in everyday speech, right? So you guys is just basically you. It means you, you. But it's very, very common to hear people say you guys, you girls, when referring to just you, right? So how are you guys, how are you two doing? Moving on. We're just fine. Thank God it's Friday. Am I right? We're just fine. Thank God it's Friday. Am I right? Amen. Yeah, it's been a long week, my friends. What are you guys up to? Yeah, it's been a long week, my friends. What are you guys up to? Remember that we saw this expression here, the be up to, many classes ago, meaning basically to have the ability to do something or have the disposition to do something, as in the sentence, I am up to the challenge. I am up to the challenge. I have the ability or I have the disposition to do, to perform this challenge, right? Here we have a different situation. We have be up to, meaning a scheme. People are scheming. They are planning something, usually a mischief, usually a prank, something like that. So to scheme something. So when he says there, what are you guys up to? What he's asking is, what are you guys scheming there? What are you guys planning to do? And you give this idea that they are not planning something good, that they are planning something mischievous, right? So I could say, for example, the kids are too quiet. I'm sure they're up to something, right? The kids are too quiet. I'm sure they're up to something. I'm sure they're scheming something. I'm sure they're planning some kind of prank. I could also say, I know he's up to something. I know he's up to something. I know he's scheming something. I know he's planning something. All right? And then there's one more use of be up to that we haven't seen here yet, which is to depend on. So I can say, for instance, the success of this project is up to us. The success of this project is up to us. What I'm actually saying is that the success of the project depends on us. All right, so this is yet another use of be up to. It can either mean to have the ability, to have the disposition to do something, to be scheming, planning something mischievous, a prank or something like that, or to depend on. Okay, moving forward. Not much, just having a beer. Jane has been telling me about some trouble she's had at work, but that's all in the past now. Not much, just having a beer. Jane has been telling me about some trouble she had at work, but it's all in the past now. It's all water under the bridge. Right? Remember that I told you a few classes ago about the use of the verb have to indicate eat or drink? So Here it is again, right? Just having a beer, just drinking a beer. If I say, would you like to have some ice cream? Would you like to eat some ice cream? If I say, she wants to have tea, she wants to drink tea, right? So I can use the verb have, meaning eat or drink. All right, moving on. Yep, dead and buried. So how was your day, Ed? Yep, dead and buried. So how was your day, Ed? Notice here how we have a very clear situation of oral speech. When I say yep, yep. Okay, so yep means, as you know, yes, right? Yes. But it's a very informal, a very everyday way to say yes. So yep, yep, yep. You're not going to really pronounce the P in a very strong way, in a very stressed way, right? You're just going to shut your lips. Yep, yep, yep. Okay, so yep, dead and buried. Yep, yep. All right, moving on. Can't complain too much. I finally finished the server update, so that's a weight off my shoulders. Can't complain too much. I finally finished the server update, so that's a weight off my shoulders. This expression here, weight off my shoulders, is a very interesting expression that you can use not only for you, you can use for other subjects. So let me put my here in parentheses. So I could say, she lifted a weight off her shoulders when she finished that project. So she was really relieved. She lifted a weight off her shoulders when she finished that project. She had a lot of weight. She had a heavy burden on her shoulders. Okay. So I have a lot of weight on my shoulders. When you have a lot of responsibilities, a lot of challenges, things aren't easy right now, so you have a lot of weight on your shoulders, right? So a heavy burden to carry. And then when it's over, when it's done, when it's finished, you lift a weight off your shoulders, okay? So a weight on your shoulders when things are hard, things are difficult, and a weight off your shoulders when you are finally relieved from that burden. All right, moving on. Oh, did you? You've been telling me about that thing for at least 2 weeks. Oh, did you? You've been telling me about the thing for at least 2 weeks. Here, once again, we have the preposition for related to time, indicating that something started some time ago. Sometime in the past, right? So you've been telling me about this for 2 weeks. You started talking to me about this 2 weeks ago. So for 2 weeks indicates this period of time. All right, moving on. Yeah, let's just say it was quite a challenge. Yeah, let's just say it was quite a challenge. Here you have, once again, the use of the expression quite a, right? Which means something exceptional. Exceptional, something huge, something enormous. So quite a challenge, an exceptional challenge, a huge challenge. Remembering that it can be either quite a or quite an, depending on the following word, right? So quite a challenge, but quite an opportunity. Right, so it depends on the word that's gonna come after it, okay? Also, let's remember how we pronounce that, because we tend to say everything together. Quite a, right? Quite a, quite a, quite a, quite a challenge. It was quite a challenge. It was quite a challenge, okay? That's his diplomatic way of saying it was an absolute pain to do it. That's his diplomatic way of saying it was an absolute pain to do it. Here we have a very interesting use of the word pain. Pain, as you know, can mean something that is physically hurting. So you have pain in your head hurts. If you have a pain in your hand hurts, and so on, right? So it's usually related to something that hurts. But in our situation here, in our case here, we have pain as a synonym of something boring or annoying, right? So if something is a pain, is something boring or annoying. I could say, for example, that project was a real pain. So that project was really boring, really annoying. Or I could say, my new boss is a pain. So I'm using the word pain, meaning boring or annoying, not just for things, but also for people. So something or someone boring or annoying or some other bad things that a person or a thing can be. All right, so that project was a real pain. My boss is a pain. It was an absolute pain to do it. It was really boring. It was really annoying. It was a bad experience. All right, true. Odette here is a consummate professional. True, Odette here is a consummate professional. A very interesting word here we have, consummate. Consummate, which means basically perfect or complete, right? So he is a perfect professional. His behavior as a professional is perfect. He is a complete professional. He has all the qualities it takes to be a good professional. All right, so a consummate professional, a perfect profession, a complete professional. All right, moving forward. Indeed. Now, on to the next task, which is going to be the database migration project. I'm definitely going to need your help on that, Tom. Indeed. Now, on to the next task, which is going to be the database migration project. I'm definitely going to need your help on that, Tom. Here we have a very interesting word, which is the word indeed. The word indeed here in our case here is being used as without any doubt, right? Without any doubt or certainly or true, right? So indeed, true, without any doubt, certainly. I could say, for instance, today is indeed the coldest day of the year. Today is indeed the coldest day of the year. Today is, without any doubt, the coldest day of the year, right? And we can also use indeed as an intensifier. So if I say, she is a good professional, indeed, I am emphasizing that. I'm using it as an intensifier, to intensify, to emphasize, to highlight that she is really a good professional. She is a good professional indeed, right? And also, I can use the word indeed for confirmation, right? So if I say, for instance, it rained indeed, I am confirming that it rained. I knew that there was a possibility of rain, and now indeed it rained. So it is confirmed. It rained indeed. So it is a confirmed fact. All right. Also in this page here, I just want to draw your attention quickly once again to the order of the words when we have a multiple word expression like database migration project, right? So the important thing there, the main thing of this whole expression is project, the project. But what kind of project? A migration project. What kind of migration? A database migration. So database migration project, right? It's always good to remember that. Okay, moving on. Are you? I mean, I'd be glad to help, but I'm not sure I'm the right man for the task. I'm usually more focused on network infrastructure. Are you? I mean, I'd be glad to help. This expression here, I mean, is a very used and very useful expression because we can use it to make a smooth transition into an explanation or justification, right? So, for instance, I blame Jane. I mean, why did she have to talk to the boss like that? So I blame Jane. Jane is guilty. I mean, I am making a transition in a smooth way to justify why I blame Jane. And then I give my justification. I give my explanation. Why did you have to talk to the boss like that? Right? So I mean can be used in many different contexts for many different situations. Let me give you one more example. Are you sure you can do this? I mean, I know you're busy, right? So are you sure you can do this? I mean, I'm explaining myself. I'm justifying myself for why I asked that question. I mean, I know you're busy. So it's a smooth transition to clarify something that you said before. All right, let's move on. But I'm not sure I'm the right man for the task. I'm usually more focused on network infrastructure. Let's pay attention here to the pronunciation of focused. Okay, focused. Once again, that simple pass of regular verbs thing, right? So focused. Also, the pronunciation of the word infrastructure. Network infrastructure. I'm more focused on network infrastructure. All right, moving forward. Yes, and that's going to be crucial. We will need the network to remain solid throughout the whole process. We can't afford to risk losing our progress because of connection issues. Yes, and that's going to be crucial. That's going to be essential. We will need the network to remain solid throughout the whole process. First of all, let's take a look at this structure here. We will need the network to remain solid. So need the network to remain solid, which is basically the verb need followed by something, to followed by a verb, right? So that's the structure that I have there. And I'm gonna use that to express that I need some action from something or someone. Okay, so I need some kind of action from something or someone. I need someone or something to perform something for me, right? So if I say, for instance, I need you to stay here. I need one action from you, which is stay here, right? I need a person, I need you to do something for me to stay here. I could also say, they need me to pick up the director at the airport. So they need some action. What action? To pick up the director. From whom? Who has to perform that action? Me. So they need me to pick up the director at the airport. They need me to perform some kind of action for them. One more example. She needs her boss to sign the contract. She needs something from someone. She needs to sign the contract. She needs this action to be done. And who has to do this action? Her boss. She needs her boss to sign the contract, right? So if you need an action performed by something or someone else, you need something to, and then the verb. All right, and then the second thing that I want to point out here is the word throughout. The word throughout means through all parts. So when I say throughout the whole process, I mean through all parts of the process during all that time. So during the whole time. So if I say this road is open throughout the year, the road is open during the whole year, during all the year. The road is open throughout the year. I could also say that report is just wrong throughout. So through all parts of that report are wrong. The report is just wrong throughout. All right, so through all parts of something or during the whole time period of something, right? So throughout the whole process, we need a network to remain solid throughout the whole process. All right? We can't afford to risk losing our progress because of connection issues. We can't afford to risk losing our progress because of connection issues. This expression here, we have already seen it. The word afford can mean both things, right? Can mean pay and can mean manage. So if you say we can't afford this car, we can't pay for this car. But if I say I can't afford to stay here any longer, I can't afford to stay here any longer, I can't manage to stay here any longer. There will be problems for me if I stay here any longer, okay? That's the case here. We can't afford to risk losing. So there will be problems for us if we lose what? Our progress because of connection issues. All right, moving on to our last page. Oh my God, you two, you're putting me to sleep. Enough shop talk. Let's just relax for a second. Oh my God, Ichu, you're putting me to sleep. Enough shop talk. Let's just relax for a second. First thing, put someone to sleep, right? Put someone to sleep. So it can either be literal, so put someone in bed. I could say I put my kids to sleep. So I put my kids in bed and now they are there sleeping safe and sound. Or it can be boring or talk about boring things, something that is making you fall asleep, right? So if I say, this lecture is putting me to sleep, this lecture is boring, so boring that I am falling asleep, all right? And second thing, we have a very interesting expression here, which is shop talk. Shop talk is basically talk or conversations about work, right? So shop talk, when you keep talking, when you keep discussing things about your professional life, shop talk, having a conversation about work all the time. So enough shop talk, let's not talk about work anymore, all right? Yeah, I guess you're right. Next round's on you, Ed. Yeah, I guess you're right. Next round's on you, Ed. Here in this sentence, we have the expression on you, which in this case here, in our situation here, means you are going to pay, right? So if I say next round's on you, you are going to pay for next round. If I say the tickets are on me, I'm going to pay for those tickets, right? Or if I say, our next pizza is on Sam, it means that Sam is going to pay for the next pizza, right? So on someone can mean that this person is going to pay for it. So the tickets are on me, I'm going to pay for the tickets. Our next pizza is on Sam, Sam's going to pay for the pizza. The next round is on you, Ed. You, Ed, are gonna pay for the next round. You got it. I'm gonna pay for the next round. No worries, right? Well, that's the end of our happy hour chat. Let's listen to it one more time.
So that's what I did. He told me to talk to HR if I was offended, and I did exactly that.
Oh, wow. That can't have been good for him. He was being a total jerk, though. So it's great that you reported his behavior.
So inappropriate. Honestly, this is the first time something like this has happened to me. But anyways, it's all water under the bridge.
True. We ought to move on. It's not worth it to keep thinking about this sort of thing. Oh, hey, look who's here. Come on, Ed, join us.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Jane. How you guys doing?
We're just fine. Thank God it's Friday, am I right?
Amen.
Yeah, it's been a long week, my friends. What are you guys up to?
Not much, just having a beer. Jane has been telling me about some trouble she's had at work, but that's all in the past now.
Yep, dead and buried. So, how was your day, Ed?
Can't complain too much. I finally finished the server update, so that's a weight off my shoulders.
Oh, did you? You've been telling me about that thing for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, let's just say it was quite a challenge.
That's his diplomatic way of saying it was an absolute pain to do it.
True. Old Ed here is a consummate professional.
Indeed. Now, on to the next task, which is going to be the database migration project. I'm definitely going to need your help on that, Tom.
Are you? I mean, I'd be glad to help, but I'm not sure I'm the right man for the task. I'm usually more focused on network infrastructure.
Yes, and that's going to be crucial. We will need the network to remain solid throughout the whole process. We can't afford to risk losing our progress because of connection issues.
Oh my God, you two. You're putting me to sleep. Enough shop talk. Let's just relax for a second.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Next round's on you, Ed.
You got it.
All right, now let's leave Jane, Tom, and Ed to enjoy their happy hour because we still have work to do, right? We have our memorization hack practice. You can also listen to the dialogue one more time if you'd like to. And don't forget to always practice the pronunciation tips that I give you during our classes here. All right, have a good one, private, and I'll see you next time.